Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox. I'm the Compliance Evangelist, and I'm very pleased and excited to bring to you a special five-part podcast series based upon an interview with Dr. Kyle Welch from George Washington University on his recent paper, Evidence on the Use and Efficacy of Internal Whistleblowing Systems. First, a word from our sponsor, Navex Global. Navex Global offers a comprehensive suite of ethics and compliance software, content, and services that helps organizations protect their people, reputation, and bottom line. With more than 13,000 customers, including 85% of the Fortune 500, Navex Global solutions support the largest ethics and compliance community in the world. Over this five-part podcast series, I take a deep dive into Dr. Welch's paper and explore why it is so important and significant for the compliance practitioner. We look into the background of why he started this study, what some of the key information he read to prepare for his research, what he expected or what predictions he had from looking at the numbers. Then we consider what his research found. And finally, we tie it all together with what it all means for the compliance practitioner. This is one of the most significant academic studies for FCPA and anti-bribery compliance practitioners, and indeed all compliance practitioners. I know you will find this podcast series useful and helpful, as well as the paper, which of course we will link to in the show notes. This is Tom Fox. I'm the Compliance Evangelist. This special podcast series is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and you are in for a real treat this week because I have a five-part podcast series with Dr. Kyle Welch, who wrote a paper entitled Evidence on the Use and Efficacy of Internal Whistleblowing Systems. It was published December 2018. It is a fabulous paper that I'm going to let him describe for us. He is at George Washington University. This is the first academic paper which focuses on one of the specific tactics or strategies under the 10 hallmarks of an effective compliance program, internal whistleblowing systems. It's not a hotline. It's an entire whistleblowing system. So with that somewhat long-winded introduction, Kyle, first of all, thank you for taking the time to visit with me and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So in this first episode, I really wanted to introduce yourself and introduce the academic study. So could you give a few words about your professional and academic background, what you teach, and what led you with that background to do this paper?
Absolutely. So I'll give a high level. As was mentioned, I'm an accounting professor at George Washington University. Prior to that, I was getting I received a doctorate from Harvard Business School. And prior to going and getting a doctorate, I worked for several years. I worked at the Stanford Endowment for about 3.5-4 years. And then I worked at Standard & Poor's doing valuation work. And I did my undergrad at Brigham Young University. And the origin of the study came about from basically looking at the nature of accounting kind of serves a couple of different roles. It's reporting on what goes on in the organization. And that's important for a lot of users of the information, investors, managers to make managerial decisions. And then there's this entire industry that's based on finding problems and identifying the problems in the accounting. And this is all the fraud-related stuff or the issues related to, things happening, not going right. And what I noticed is as you look back at big debacles that are public debacles that come out, they all have something kind of in common. They usually have an individual that saw something and reported on it. And so how the study came about is I remembered back in the day when I was an undergrad, I had gotten an internship at Ernst & Young, and I remembered looking at a poster on a wall, and it said ethics point. And I remember thinking, that's weird, ethics point. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, it's a place that you go to report if you see something that you don't like or if that something's wrong. And for some reason, that stuck with me, basically about 19 years later when I was thinking about research ideas. As an academic at GW, it's a fantastic vocation, by the way. I just basically get to pursue research ideas I find interesting. And so I did a little bit more digging, and I realized Ethics Point was part of Navex Global, And I reached out to Navex Global and I started a conversation about 2 years ago. And the conversation initially went like this: Hi, I'm an academic and I'm interested in looking at some of the most sensitive data on the planet. Will you let me look? And their initial response was, no. Are you kidding? No. And then I talked to them a bit more. And over the time of about a year and a half, when we realized that that we could do this research without revealing any information or any sensitive things associated with who was actually reporting, what the details were of the event, and even knowing exactly directly what the firm is that we could actually accomplish this research by connecting external data to this and having a map and a key and keeping all their data still proprietary. After going through that process, they finally gave a green light to actually doing this. And it was, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. And so as an academic, feel free to interject and if you have any questions along the way. As an academic, data is what drives my field of study. I look at empirical data that exists, and then you run, regressions and you try to determine causality. And if, we're looking for if-then statements of, well, if this happens, then this will happen. That's the goal of this research. And typically the most interesting research is the research that's the hardest data to get. If you think about it, the data that is the hardest to get, I have a chart that I like to show where, our level of understanding and data availability a lot of times with certain aspects is off. You think about a typical accounting performance metrics, we have a lot of data availability and there's a lot of understanding of what the performance metrics mean. And as you go down, there's limited data on other categories that we don't know very much about. And all of those limited data points related to firms are the whole point of whistleblowing systems is to capture those limited data points. And so you think about HR related issues, like we know they're bad, but we don't know how often they're happening. We don't know when they're happening or who's doing it, or major HR related issues, or even EPA violations. A lot of these things happen in organizations and it's hard to identify. And a lot of times, even accounting, if you are a bad actor and understand the basics of accounting, you can misreport accounting information and get past auditors. And it takes a human to actually identify it and capture it and say, look, that's wrong. And so the nature of my interest related to this is to find data that's that we don't have information on and do research that has basically not been done before. And that's the neat thing about this data is we've never had data like this before in management research on some of the most difficult topics that firms deal with. And quite frankly, a lot of firms are blind on not knowing where to go in how to manage this data as they get it. They know that certain things are bad and you got to get rid of certain people or, train certain people, but, understanding the levels of reports and those type of things, there's a lot of questions out there. So the process has taken about 2 years to get through. And at this end of it, having, developed this research, I'm super excited about what we found so far.
So let me ask a couple of questions. First of all, were you paid by Navex to do this research and or write the report? And then from there, what did you expect to find?
Yep. So as an academic, I get paid to do research. And this is not like a tobacco industry type of situation. I think Navex bought, two dinners for me, but I bought two breakfasts for them. So I think we're about even on that. I am not paid by Navex at all. The only real compensation that you could say I got is access to data. And kudos for Navex. I signed an NDA related to accessing this data, but they came in to this knowing fully, eyes wide open that look, this is an academic. He could find anything with this study. And so they were very, it's been great working with them. So yeah, I'm not paid by them. To answer your question, I'm not paid by them.
So what did you expect to find?
So that's a good question. A lot of people, and this is going to sound like nails on a chalkboard to compliance people. I wasn't sure. I actually had a pretty open mind, and most compliance people would hear that and say, oh, come on, you got to know that this is this. And I would say that, like, based on existing research, it's actually the what we would find was actually kind of up in the air. And so let me give you an example that will clarify it for you. So frequently managers and directors are looking at the level of reporting to tell whether or not they have a good or bad system. How many reports are made in the system is or how quickly things are resolved or these type of things. And these metrics, you get some intuition that, like, yeah, having zero reports is probably bad because we know there's some problems, but maybe having too many reports is not good. And there's a question, and if you think about it, if you were to ask the average person walking on the street, you said, okay, come in here, we're going to give you a job, you're going to have to work at this place for the next 5 years, all right? And you're going to put two job offers in front of them. And everything's about is the same about the firm. Everything's the same about the firm, except for in one job offer, you're able to see that they have a lot more whistleblowing reports in the firm where people use the internal feedback system. And in the other job, it's the same thing, same everything, except for they have less. And you ask the person, you say, okay, which firm is the better firm and which should you take an offer at? And I would think most people on the street would probably say the one with fewer reports. And so that kind of motivates this idea that, you know, having fewer reports might should be an indicative of just a firm that has lower problems. There's a huge amount of management research and gurus spending time on how to lead, how to be the right leader of an organization. And there's this continual search for this silver bullet of finding the right team and finding the right manager that makes you inoculated from just problems. And there's also this other way of thinking about it. There's the other side, which I think resonates with most compliance people, is that, you know, humans are kind of just like, they're awesome because they can get this information to you, but they're also problematic because a lot of these problems are caused by humans, HR related, fraud related, all these, you know, large issues that are hard to detect are created by individuals. And so the reality is that it could be that just managing humans and being part of an organization, you have problems. And what the whistleblower system does is enable you to understand how much, not even understand, just give you a sense of your visibility to those problems. And the problems are not unique to the firm, but they're common amongst all firms. And what this internal compliance system does is it enables managers to get a window into the problems. And so so you have one hand on, well, you know, is this like tip of the iceberg? You know, there's more problems at a firm with more reports. Or on the other, is this indicative of a firm that actually just is discovering more about things that they don't know, right? Trying to uncover things that are hidden that they can't observe from the typical compliance, the typical reports that you'd get in an organization. So that's the conflicting thing. And so I didn't know what to expect. And either result for me as an academic is interesting to me. There's a lot of prior research on external whistleblowing being kind of a typically iceberg situation. As soon as something comes out externally that something's wrong at a firm, usually there's more things that come out later, and usually they're negative about the firm. That's why I was kind of open to it and open to the different outcomes.
So Dr. Welch, unfortunately we are near the end of our time, but, I've been visiting with Dr. Kyle Welch on his paper, Evidence on the Use and Efficacy of Internal Whistleblowing Systems. I hope you'll join us for our next episode where we take a look at the background and related research. Dr. Welch, I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox again. I hope you enjoyed this episode of my 5-part exploration with Dr. Kyle Welch on his recently released paper, Evidence on the Use and Efficacy of Internal Whistleblowing Systems. I hope you will find this podcast series as powerful a tool for you as a chief compliance officer or a compliance practitioner that you can have. I hope you will join us again for our next episode. This special podcast series has been a presentation of the Compliance Podcast Network.
This This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.